Well, I wanted to share something that goes along with what Brian was sharing, but maybe a little bit more personal and to a different way of expressing it. Upon this pathway, we share a lot about meditation and the reasons why we meditate. And the real reason we meditate is to move into loving God and being vulnerable to God's loving and merging into that oneness of loving and the action of that and beginning to live it more every day. And that is that process of awakening to the soul that we are. And the action of initiation, the action of meditation, is all about awakening to that greater truth. We also talk about how this process is a process of liberating the soul, of allowing the soul to wake up to the divine that it is, to begin to live its own divine nature and to free itself from the bondage of this creation so that it can begin to walk freely, even while in the physical body, to walk freely in the realm of soul and spirit, to know itself in its true nature, and to live it as fully as possible in any given moment, with awareness, with understanding, and in the fullness that is possible there. We also say that the process of meditation is dying the little death daily, of daily sitting down and holding our focus inside and letting go of this physical consciousness and waking up to the truth of who we are as soul so that we truly can rise up through all the physical realms, through all the spiritual, and into the oneness of the divine, knowing God directly, fully, even while we're in the physical form. And that when that day comes, when we take the final breath and leave this physical form, we know the journey, we know the experience, we know where to focus and to go to, and that's what we do, consciously, knowingly. And there is that part of this process of meditation, this practice, this pathway is truly about becoming prepared. Prepared for what? Prepared to die? No. It's prepared to live more fully in the truth of who you are. Every day, it's a preparation. Meditation is preparing yourself to live the soul as fully as you can in every given moment. But it is also a preparation for that day when you do take the final breath and you do leave the physical form. Finally, completely, for the last time. And you leave it consciously at that time, even if you've not left it consciously before. On this pathway, we share with you that that name of God that is anchored in you, that sacred name, truly is the action of grace, the action of loving, the action of mercy that God gives every soul that chooses into it, the opportunity to walk free. Walk free now while you're in the physical form, and to walk free and liberated as soul as you leave this physical form and this physical reality once and for all. I know from my own inner experience that that is all true, that the soul can and will be liberated if we do what we are to do. Now, it's interesting. When I was meditating this morning, I heard very clearly God was sharing with me a few things. And that one was, I ask so little, but it seems like so much. I do so much, but it seems like so little. Why don't they pay attention? Why don't they really hear and see and know and experience the truth that I ask so little and I do so much? I ask of them to meditate 10% of their day. And in that agreement, in that statement, I also say that if you do your 10%, I will do the other 90. If you do your 10%, and focus in loving, focus in awakening, focus and wake up into the truth of who you are as best you can in every given moment in your meditation. I will take care of everything else for you. All the other karmas, all the other debts, all the other obligations that have held you in bondage here for so long, I will take care of. The grace, the loving that I am, will go into all of your creations, all of that which has held you in bondage here for so long. And I will release them. I will forgive them. I will take them on to myself, and you will be free, and you will be liberated. All I ask is you to do 10%, and I'll do the 90. So I ask of them so little, and I do for them so much, but they think I do so little, and I ask of them so much. It is time now for the soul to get it right inside themselves. Truly, I do ask a lot when you live in the physical form, and I ask of you in the physical form to give up time that the physical form finds so precious, so important, so needy, so demanding. But I'm not asking the physical form to give up anything. I'm asking you, soul, to let go of the physical for a period of time each day, to tithe that time to me. Tithe your loving into the flow of loving, into that river that will take you home, that will wake you up, that will complete your journey. So when I speak to you, I do not speak in the terms of physical time or physical expression or physical sacrifice. I speak to the soul to come present, to come awake, to give me opportunity to live and awaken in you to the fullest. That's what I heard. And I think it's a wonderful statement. And then I became aware of something else that's very precious upon this pathway. The spiritual teacher, both the Holy Spirit in its pure essence, out of the realms of spirit, and your spiritual teacher who manifests in the physical form, is with you before you were ever born in this lifetime, is with you and begins the journey, begins assisting you in the journey, into the physical reality of this lifetime, laying out the karmas for you, beginning to take charge of your destinies, beginning to create the opportunity by which you can begin to truly choose the path of liberation by being initiated. And as I watched this, I saw how both myself and Brian, in the action of the Holy Spirit, has walked with each soul in this lifetime, long before you ever heard of Inner Light Ministries or Jim Gordon or Brian Yakey or spiritual pathways or meditation, long before that. And I also saw how the Holy Spirit, in its pure essence, and the Holy Spirit, living as the living word and the spiritual teacher in the physical form, is with you from the very moment you take your first breath into the physical body as a baby and take your last breath, however that might be, at whatever age that might be, and you leave the physical form once again fully, completely for the last time. And that essence of God's loving is with you from the beginning to the ending of this lifetime, from the moment you take the first breath to the moment you take the last. And it's there easing you in to the physical form with that first breath, placing you in to the physical structure of this creation, And it is there to ease you out, to bring you out of it, and to take you on to the next part of the journey that is for you, the soul. And I got to witness something very wonderful the last few days. There's a friend of mine that I've known since 1985. He was an initiate on the path of sound and light for 26 years. We would talk from time to time on the phone because he lived elsewhere. We would see each other once in a great, great while, physically. And often the conversation would be about meditation, about why am I not having experience in meditation? Why do I not have the drive to really sit down and be disciplined about my meditation? I really do want to meditate. I just keep giving over to the world and make things more important. And I don't sit down and meditate as much as I would like. I haven't been a good disciple in that way. I've read the books. I've gone and I've listened to my spiritual teacher whenever he's around or I can get to where he's at. I've done all that, but I really haven't been the best disciple in the sense of doing what I've been asked to do, and that is meditate every day. Hold my attention first on God. I've done the best I can, but now there was something different in our conversations over the last year. And that was he was diagnosed with cancer. And all of a sudden, the conversations changed a little bit. All of a sudden, it wasn't like, when am I going to start meditating? It was, why haven't I meditated up to now the way I should? And I'm going to start committing myself to meditating more. Now that I have cancer, I see, oh my God, this has been an opportunity for me to sit and meditate as an initiate on the sacred name of God, to wake up and to know who I truly am as soul. And I have just kind of tossed it aside, not given it the importance that I really could have and I wanted to. So he began meditating every day, to the best of his ability, giving it as much time as he could. And as he became to be ill, more ill from the cancer, it was a little bit harder, a little bit more challenging to give it the time, to give it the awareness, to sit for a period of time and really stay focused and present. And we were talking one day, and I said, so what do you do when you're meditating? I mean, I know what the practice is, but what are you doing? And he goes, well, it's changed. He said, at first, my meditation was really, without realizing it, I was negotiating with God. I was telling God, you know, as an initiate, I'm sorry I haven't meditated the way I should have. And I really want to meditate now. I'm going to meditate every day. I'm going to do it. And if you'll just heal me of this cancer, if you'll help me to find the way to be healed from this cancer, I'll meditate every day. I promise you. And he negotiated and he kept negotiating every day in his meditation. And that was a big part of his focus in meditation. And then one day he realized that that's not what his spiritual master had taught him, and that that's not what this pathway was about. And he began to look and see, then what am I supposed to do? This isn't about negotiating anything. This isn't about all of a sudden promising anything to God, but it's about waking up to the promise that God has given to him in initiation. And that is that if you focus your loving in God, if you chant that name of God every day and let the power of the name, which is loving, build inside of you, you will become that living, loving essence of the Lord that you are, aware of it, knowing it, fully on all levels of consciousness, not just in the realm of soul, but on all levels of consciousness. And so that began to be his goal. But then in our conversations, he would go, but I'm still not having experience. I thought I should be having experience. I should see things. I should hear things. And I said, that's not necessarily so. It's about loving God. It's about sitting down and just being in loving with God, sharing our loving with God, and allowing God to love us, however that might be. And don't put qualifications on it. It has to look like this. It has to sound like this. I have to have these experiences or else this isn't valid. And so he began meditating just with that attitude of loving God and allowing God's love in. He still wasn't having experience. He was a little disappointed, but at least more into the loving and to experience the movement of loving in his life more. So as he was doing that practice, he called me one day and he said, "Jim, you know, I've been doing all these therapies. I've been through all these treatments. I've had hope. I've had surgery. I've had promise from doctors. I've kept focusing on the positive, affirming these things. But I now know I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it." And I said, "What do you mean you're not going to make it?" He says, "I'm not going to make it." And I said, "And what does that mean?" He says, "I'm not going to be able to live. I'm going to die." And I go, "And who's going to die?" And he goes, "I'm going to die." And I go, "No, no, no, no. You're not going to die. What's going to die?" And he went, "What do you mean what's going to die? I'm going to die. I've got cancer and it's killing me." And I go, "What's it killing?" And he goes, "My body, I get it. My body's going to die." I said, "That's your focus now. Your focus is to wake up beyond the body and to know yourself something other than the body. To know you're not this body. You're still trying to save the body. You're still trying to find God in the body or bring God into the body. Don't do that. It's not about the body. It's about your soul." So weeks went by, months went by, and as he moved more towards that time, when he was going to take the last breath and leave the physical form, the physical body would die, we were having a serious talk. He was afraid. He said, "I haven't been a good disciple. I haven't done my meditations. I haven't come awake. I don't know that I was really responsible in handling all those lessons, all those unlearned lessons, karmas in my life that I could have done. And I think that I may not have done what I really wanted to do, which was liberate my soul." I said, "You can't judge that. You can't judge it from the physical level. And if you haven't had inner experience to know one way or the other, you can't make that statement. You don't know." I said, "But I do know one thing, and I know that you know this, even though you don't allow yourself to think about it. There's a spiritual promise that is given to every initiate, and that is that the last breath that the body takes, the spiritual teacher is right there with you, right there with you, to take your hand and to take you as high as you can go, and as high as the grace is able to take you." And I said, "That's a spiritual promise you've read, you've heard, you know it to be stated in the teachings. Now it's for you to discover if it's true or not." And he goes, "But what if it's not?" And I said, "But what if it is?" I said, "You're not going to know till you take your last breath, maybe. But you will know it at that moment. I promise you." So we talked about that in conversations over the next few weeks. Then Wednesday, I was talking to him. I guess I started to cry. I was talking to him, and he was very, very weak, not doing well at all. Hospice had been coming in and visiting with him. He had 24-hour care. They really didn't know how long he was going to still be around. And we were talking. And as we were talking, he said, "Are you really sure about that my spiritual teacher is going to be here with me when I leave this body?" And I said, "Ooh, I like the way you're talking." And I said, "Yes, and that's the truth. I know it. I know it to be true." And he says, "And I've done what I needed to do. I've cleared enough karma." And I said, "You're loving, and your intention and your focus and you ever worried about it has cleared a lot. Let God do the rest. Just let God do the rest and love God right now. Don't worry about, have I done enough? Have I done it right? Am I ready to go? I said, you're in this place because it's time for you to go now. Your body no longer is needed. Your soul is ready to continue its journey beyond this body. Let it go. And trust and know that your spiritual teacher, the Holy Spirit, is right there to take your hand and to take you as high as you can go. So, Thursday morning, I did my meditation. I went to my dentist to have my teeth cleaned and drove over to Whole Foods and did some shopping. This is about 10:30 in the morning. And I'm driving home. And as I'm going down 6th Street, heading back home, all of a sudden Jesus comes and sits in the car. It was nice. I love it when he comes in, whether it's me, you know, in my meditation or in any way. And he goes, don't worry. I'm with him now. I have his hand, and I'll take care of him. This is what Brian and I live for, is to take his soul home to God, to really know that it's done. All these other things that we deal with, whether it's our own physical stuff or anything in the world, it's just part of the system down here. This is what we live for. So, gotta get past that. So Jesus said, don't worry. I've got him now. I've taken his hand and I'm going to take him home. So I let it go. I knew he was really fine. And I knew that God was going to be taking him home now in the action of the Holy Spirit. And then his own spiritual teacher came in and took my hand and said, just as I take your hand, I take his. And I'm the one who will walk him home. I will take him to soul. I will take him beyond. I will take him, and he will be liberated. He is a liberated soul. He just does not know it yet. But I will go now, and I will tell him so, and he will know it. So that night, Thursday night, he died at 8 o'clock in the evening. The person I talked to on Wednesday who gave him the phone to talk to me told me that he would notify me by email if anything happened. But he thought it was going to be a couple of weeks away. Well, that next morning on Thursday, after I meditated and had breakfast and had some coffee and had my coffee talk with Brian, I went and got my emails, opened it up, and there was a notification that he had died that evening that Thursday evening at 8 o'clock in the evening. And then there was another one directly underneath it from the same gentleman. The first one was a notification going out to a large group of his friends. The next one was personal to me. And he said, I want you to know something. I don't know what I witnessed, but I really witnessed something most profound. He said that he was under a lot of stress. He was rather fearful this morning. But then, as we were talking, he told me what you shared with him last night or yesterday afternoon. And that brought him peace. And all of a sudden, he started smiling. And he had a lot of joy with him. And he calmed down, and everything was just fine after that. And he just resolved into this wonderful process of his life, as I've never witnessed it before. And he didn't accept death. He accepted life. And he says, I've never witnessed it. And I've worked in hospice for so many years. But I've never seen anybody take the hand of life so vigorously and just walk through this process that we would call death. But to him, it was moving into greater life, is how he put it towards the end. And he shared a few other things with me. So I wrote him back and I asked him, I said, when was this that he all of a sudden was joyful and began to accept what was going on in a wonderful way? And it was almost exactly the same time as I was driving home from Whole Foods, and Jesus came in, and then his spiritual master came in and shared that with me. And he says, I want to know what it was that he was doing. And then I got a note from his niece asking the very same thing. So he's talked about this pathway all that I know, I've known him. She was 23 years old. So what is this pathway that he could die so peacefully and be so joyful and be so prepared? What was that? And how do I get it? So now we're in correspondence about that, both this gentleman and this lady. He was a living demonstration of this pathway. But the greater thing is, I know he went home. I know he's in God fully. He is liberated. He does not have to come back here ever, 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 ever again. He won't even think about this creation. It is so far beneath him. He is so far away from it. It is not a part of his beingness, his awareness, to be able to be drawn back down here. He fulfilled what he came to do. And yes, maybe he didn't meditate 2.5 hours every day, but he was a good disciple. He loved God. He did the best he could to put God first. He did the best he could to be responsible for his thoughts and his feelings, his actions and his reactions. And that's the important factor here. It's all of it. Be a good disciple. Do it all. But be aware, God made a spiritual promise. If you will do your 10%, your meditation every day, I will do the other 90. When that time comes, when you take your last breath, I will be there with you, the spiritual teacher says, the Holy Spirit says, God says. I will be there with you, and I will take your hand, and we will walk together the highest levels that we can go. And God promises that he will take care of the other 90%. So as you walk out of this creation in the hand of God, following that path of sound and light, the grace of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God goes into all of your creations, all of your karmas, all of your debts, and just neutralizes them. They no longer exist. They never existed. And the Lord of this creation doesn't even know you existed. So therefore, there is no way that he can draw you back down, call you back down, attract you. It is done, and you are free. That is what this pathway is about. So contemplate that when you sit down to meditate next. And contemplate that when you don't sit down to meditate next. And know that God is with you in it all, and it's all just fine. Don't put judgment on anything. Let it all be all right. And then it will work for you. So thank you. What a wonderful journey.